Blog Talk Radio.
There's some dangerous large carnivore out there.
Yeah, I saw that bird get the young deer off the road and fly away.
And it was just about getting dark, and we started panicking, running down the bridge, not really having any clue what was throwing rocks in our vicinity, good-sized rocks. And I stopped long enough to get a 357 out of my backpack and look back, and that's when I thought I saw one.
For a week, the town of Defiance was being harassed by a werewolf. And it's actually attacked two railroad workers, killed livestock. You know, just a lot of weird stuff that was going on.
Pillows die, exit light,
Hey, John, did you make it back? Well, we'll see if Johnny comes back up. He had to reboot his computer exactly as it was time to start the show. So this is Gunner, co-host for Monster X. We're also missing Crystal today. She's out. I'm not feeling good.
Yes.
So. Crystal.
Johnny Bigfoot in the house.
All right. Welcome back, John.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Monster X Radio. Sunday, September 14th, 2014. With me tonight, as you already know, is the Sasquatch Coffee founder, Gunner Monson.
How
we'll be drawing one lucky winner from the chat room for a pound of the delicious Sasquatch coffee. So be sure to sign into the chat room for a chance to win, and we will draw that after the break. So let's dig into some Bigfoot news, and then we'll get to our guest.
What have
you
got, John?
Well, there was the one thing that we were talking about last week about the Stacy Brown possible skunk ape arm. And we didn't we receive word on that in the middle of the show last week?
We did. Actually, Stacy was on Richter's show, and it came back as an alligator leg, so, which is a lot of people seem to think it was anyway. So I listened a little bit to Todd Disodell was on there, and he made a good point, is it's important for Bigfoot researchers to familiarize themselves with not just, the sounds of in the areas that they're researching, but to actually study skeletal structures. It can save us a lot of time and heartache. So,
Because what did
swing and a miss?
Some people thought. Yeah, I think Michael Merchant called it a gator. A few other people called it a gator, but the state it was in, and I don't know, some people thought it could have been a baboon or a bear.
But yeah, some people said there were some were monkeys that had been set free in Florida, so that it could be had been a baboon. So
yeah. Gator makes sense being in Florida.
I guess when we're out looking for stuff, my motto is Bigfoot last. It's our job to make sure that the evidence is put through a fine filter. There's a lot of people out there like everything is Bigfoot, and I think that shoots Bigfoot research in the foot.
Yeah, I wish everything was Bigfoot, but Michael Merchant posted a video recently of him talking about Bergman's rule, which I guess the rule basically states that animals within the same species that live further north in colder regions will be larger than animals from southern, more warmer regions.
Okay.
And he goes on to saying that Sasquatch should fit into this rule.
Right.
And if sighting descriptions, and footprint tracks and things align with this rule, it could be a major breakthrough for evidence of Bigfoot.
It seems like the ones in our, in the Pacific Northwest skew large. So it doesn't seem like you hear of really big ones in the South, Florida.
The skunk ape is typically seen as smaller, isn't it?
Right. So it seemed like Stacy Brown's thermal image still was up there pretty good. I want to say it was in the 8 foot something range.
Okay. Okay.
So I think what they estimated that. So, but of course there's going to be variances, you know, in every area and pool, right, from what the smallest is to the largest would be. So, I was a BFR investigator for a long time, and one of the most out there reports I helped investigate was a wide 14-foot tall Squatch up in Washington. And the witness was really sincere and told a very compelling story, his reference point was a stump that had supposedly been there. You know, this, I mean, we're talking about a report that had taken place like 10 years before this, so a lot of things had grown up around there. I just have a feeling that he thought that was a stump, and it had to be something else. I mean, that's even a stretch for me. How does something 14 foot tall and white roam around the woods and not, you know, and not be discovered? You know, even 8-9 feet tall is should leave a lot of damage or evidence in the woods.
Yeah, I could see a white one thriving in the colder areas like here, but in the off season, it would stick out like a sore thumb.
You would think.
It's kind of white squirrels. You know, we got some of those here. And, I think white animals in general, you don't see that many of them because it's a rare gene or an albino trait, but at the same time, they get, you know, eaten by other predators.
Right. They stick out, yeah. Yeah, there are reports of white squatches, so I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess.
Oh, definitely.
There's a bearing. Yeah. But I know that there's a mini Bigfoot bonanza, or Bigfoot bounty, not bonanza, reunion and going on in the Sierras this weekend. I know Richter's there, Stacy Brown, and Justin Smeo are there, and Chip Morrill is there as well. Tammy, Richter's co-host, is there. I'm not sure who all else were there. Of course, Richter's been posting stuff, and Kip, of course, is putting out selfies. So.
And Justin's cooking up the wild game.
Yeah, well, yeah, I saw a video of him cutting a snake, and apparently they didn't eat it, because in the video you see that it had eaten a rat, and the rat falls out of its stomach. Oh, well, he's cutting it.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, but they were reporting a little bit of, you know, noise around camp, because if you're in the woods, you hear noises. So it doesn't mean that they were listening to Squatch.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Yeah, it looks like it'd be a good time. You got Barcatino out there. He's got a lot of high tech equipment for as far as thermals go, and he's a real dedicated, detail oriented researcher.
Right. Yeah. He's been at it a long time, so.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. He's big on the night hunts. Yeah, it'd be cool.
Interesting thermal, you know, earlier, or last year or something. Was that last year sometime, April-ish? And you got that thermal in the Sierras?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Pretty interesting to watch. That someone told me recently that you know, that's bears, and I'm like, I've seen it. That does not look like there's some figures going between the trees that do not look, they look definitely look bipedal. And
yeah, so, to me that's either humans standing on stuff or it's Bigfoot.
Right. And, you know, the context of where they were, and they did a lot of, you know, what I appreciated about Bart's approach to that was, you know, they were meticulous about going and measuring stuff, and they didn't just throw up a video that had no context. They went back and measured, and there was something, you know, that I think, you know, 8 feet tall. I mean, that's outside of normal human range, so.
Yeah, definitely interesting stuff.
Yeah, it was, so.
Hopefully we'll get something like that. We need something like that filmed during the day.
Yeah, yeah. They don't seem to cooperate that well. But.
And indeed they don't.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like our guest is on the line, and we will introduce him here. Our guest tonight is an amazing artist. He does a lot of different cryptid and non-cryptid drawings and paintings. He also makes YouTube time-lapse videos of his creations, which are very cool. Not only is he an artist, but he's also a cryptid enthusiast who's done a lot of research on Bigfoot and cryptids. Welcome, Dread Fun, to MXR. How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad. How are you guys?
I'm good.
Great.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
I hear you fine.
Excellent. Wow, that was quite the introduction. Thank you.
You're most welcome, man. Very impressive stuff. I think most of the people in the Bigfoot community are familiar with your work.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of the Bigfoot and cryptid type stuff for the last couple years.
Okay. So before that, though, you've been an artist for a long time, huh?
Yeah, for many years. I've been drawing since I was very young. My mom said before, about two or three is when I started messing around. But, I've been following art and practicing that and keeping it pretty even keel. Really, it's only picked up in the last few years. I got introduced to, I heard you guys talk about Michael Merchant there. He contacted me a while back, and I did a couple sighting videos from him. And from there, I've just been introduced to the guys from the 40 and Slip, yourself, and basically getting introduced to this whole world of cryptid cryptozoology.
Nice. That's awesome. Where did Fred, your...
Go ahead. No, I was going
to
ask Dredd. I got to ask you because I get asked this all the time. Is Dredd Fun your real name?
No, it's not my real name.
Okay.
No, my name is actually Fred Dunn. I just switched the D and the F. The reason being is I'm actually Fred Dunn the Fourth. My dad, grandpa, my great-grandfather, and even my son has the name, even though we call him by his middle name to avoid confusion. And when I started doing my YouTube videos, turned out there was already somebody that had a name very similar, and then there was another guy that was pretty famous for making accordions over in Norway, so I just decided, you know, I had to come up with something, and we flipped the name and went with it.
Well, it came out good. It's a cool
yeah, well, I find, you know, it's hard to forget, so maybe that'll make it easier for folks to remember.
Right.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool
little
play on. Yeah,
it's got a good
on.
Ring to it.
Oh, my computer crashed and I lost some of my notes here. But that's technology
Uh-oh,
for us.
We'll wing it.
So what got you into the whole Bigfoot thing then?
Well,
is that something
as
you've
a
always
kid,
been fascinated with?
Yeah, well, I've always had... I've had some issues with the woods for as long as I can remember, just barely almost borderline terror. going out into the woods, thinking about all the things that are out there that could potentially kill me. And then when I started messing around on YouTube and checking out videos, one of the things I was really interested in were Bigfoots. Like, I love ancient humans and hominid-type theories and, you know, all that stuff that goes in with it. And so through that, you know, I was introduced to videos by Lloyd Pye and other, you know, prominent hominid-type researchers. And really, you know, that's where the interest came. And then I saw the Patterson-Gimlin film and was like, wow, that's a pretty interesting film, and thought that'd be something interesting to draw, and basically thought I could add something to the Bigfoot community with, you know, a nice comic book style.
Yeah, your stuff is I love your stuff. Too cool.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Like I said, I often I switch between, like for the cryptid world, I do a lot of comic book inspired images where I'm focusing on the hard black lines as well as bringing out the colors, and then I also do realistic pencils, and which is a little more different. You got to have actual images that you can draw upon and create something that looks real.
Yeah, I know.
Well, yeah, no, I'm just.
Piece you did for me in the DFRO, that turned out really good.
Yeah, that one was a lot of fun. I sort of knew a little bit about Dogman and the Dogman mythology, but that was through you know, other YouTube videos. One of the things I like to do is I'll pick some of these videos, especially podcasts that talk about potential, like, what is Bigfoot? Is Bigfoot a giant ape, or is he a human, or what is he? And I'll have that on the background when I'm doing my artwork. And like I said, it just sort of bled through, and I thought I really could add to this. I love I was always interested in Neanderthals and, you know, Homo heidelbergensis and all those ancient hominids. And, you know, a lot of people put forth that idea that Bigfoot, if he does exist, or the species is out there, that it would be something along that line. Plus, they just look cool.
Yeah.
You know, big, muscular, really heavy brow, Conan-esque type drawings. Like I said, I'm
what
big on the muscle.
What do you think Bigfoot is?
What do I think Bigfoot is?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, I don't go off into the woods very often, but from my own, just doing my own research and trying to get the visuals down, and from what a lot of people tell me, doesn't sound like it's an ape as we would think it's an ape, but more along the lines of a human, definitely intellectually wise. I mean, if it's smart enough to stay away from us, then there's your clue there. Then again, I mean, it could be anything, like one of those relic hominids, or it could be, you know, I'd hate to see it's a hoax or anything like that, because, I mean, it's so widespread, but... I mean, all the fun in it is not knowing for me. So I imagine the day that they finally bring one in or put it in a box, I mean, there goes all my fun, because I no longer get to speculate. We'll actually have something to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I notice a lot
of
that. You know,
I think there's something out there, whether it's what we think it is or what anyone else thinks they think they know what it is, I'm not sure.
I know you know, when I was looking at your website, the body type that you use, I didn't know if you got a picture of me or something, but you seem to use my exact
Yeah, well, that was is that accurate?
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
Ripped to the gills. Well, that's what I mean. Like, I've been trying to. My artwork originally was based, like, years ago in trying to do bodybuilding type. Drawings where, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger and those larger-than-life type people. I like drawing them and learning how to do that, and that's what translates really well into the comic book style is a knowledge of anatomy. So when I'm trying to create Bigfoot, I already kind of have a good idea, even like for the Dogman. I know where certain muscles should go. If I'm going to elongate something, I know how to elongate the muscle. And like I said, all that really comes in and helps bring a lot of shape to the character. of course, a lot of people have been kind enough to comment on my channel and let me know that they think my Bigfoots are a little too muscular and they look too much like He-Man. But, again, you know, that's how they're described. So
yeah, whenever
I go with that.
I've always heard, I mean, how muscular they are, you know, and like a bodybuilder shape and how Patty doesn't look quite like a bodybuilder.
No, and that, like, I did a recreation of the Patterson-Gimlin film. It's on my channel for those that are interested. I did a headshot as well as a shot of her walking. I believe it's either 352 or 367, one of the stills from the video. And had a hard time because, I mean, when you're recreating something real, the more pixels that you have in it, the larger you can draw or make the image. So you can basically get more details. And anybody who's ever checked out that video knows when you start to pixelate it, depending on the quality, you lose a lot. So that's where knowledge of human anatomy came in. Like, I know where the muscles tie into the shoulders and the arms and the legs. And like I said, on a good day, I think that is 100% Bigfoot, and on a bad day I think it could be a guy in a suit, but it just really depends what you're looking at and what you're looking for. And I definitely see a lot of that muscle that bulges and moves as she's walking, but again, I don't know if that's because I'm ignorant when it comes to how to make a suit, but
yeah,
really don't know. But that's the fun of it,
right? Yeah, I just have a heart, you know, with the muscle movement and stuff and on the
yeah, and that's the thing. Like, if there was a real creature, I don't think it would be as built as Arnold Schwarzenegger. The Gimlin, Patterson-Gimlin creature definitely has more of a, she looks like she's definitely some sort of power lifter. Like those strongmen you see in those strongman competitions with the big, thick waist. And
right.
She definitely
kind of like you.
Build. Yeah, there we go.
I know you meant like me.
No, not like
both
you,
of you.
Yeah.
Only when Dread Fun draws me.
That's right. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I drew my own little blurb for it's like a time lapse at the start of my videos, and a lot of the family, you know, they were like, "Oh, yeah, you got a high opinion of yourself because I draw myself in a tank top and." Like, well, no, that's kind of what I look like now. And so every now and again, I have to upload a picture and prove it to them.
So Dredd, are you a bodybuilder then?
Well, no, years ago I did powerlifting. That's where you do the deadlift, bench press, and squat for maximum effort.
Right.
I had a lot of fun. It was after a promising high school football career. We'll leave it at that. I thought I had delusions of grandeur. I was going to go off and play football professionally or at least at the college level, and I didn't really have the academics to back it up. And, you know, life sometimes leads you in a different direction. So right after that, I started with the powerlifting, and, you know, I competed in a few small local competitions, nothing too big. And what kind of changed my mind on that was a few injuries that I let go, and it's only been recently, the last 4 or 5 years, that I've been actually able to be into fitness and lifting. So, really, I guess I'm into weightlifting.
Right.
I enjoy the actual physical activity, and a lot of it, you know, I don't mind talking about it. I have certain, you know, social issues myself, and I get uncomfortable in certain situations, and my artwork and working out, they help my mind and my body really calm myself down and get into a good center. It's kind of very therapeutic.
Yes, exercise is key.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I don't preach it to other people. You know, it's something that you've got to feel in yourself. If you like to be physically active, whatever it is, if you like to do hikes, like personally, I may look like I'm in great shape, but I watched a video the other day of guys hiking around certain Bigfoot sites, and I was thinking that would probably literally kill me just trying to get up that hill.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll let you know if you're in shape or not, huh?
Yeah.
Climbing a big hill.
And then if I was to go out there, everybody would be embarrassed by me crying and whimpering because of the fear. I just something about it. Ever since I was a kid, my dad would make fun of me. Because I would get nervous in the woods. He took me camping once, and mind you, the camping trip wasn't a very big success. My dad ended up lighting one of his pant legs on fire and losing his wallet in the lake when he jumped in. So, but I was about 6 or 7.
That sounds traumatic.
Well, that's the way the Fred Dunns roll. Gotta give him a little bit of trauma.
Is it squashy up by where you're at?
Not really. Like I said, there is a lot of natural forested areas that I think you could find maybe potentially something, but not really too close to where I am. I mean, there are some up north, like I'm in Ontario, so up in the northern, like I'm pretty much close to the border to the States. You only have to travel not even an hour to get into Watertown. So not too far away from the States.
So you're above me and over.
Yeah.
Gunnar, do we have a similar accent?
See, that's the thing. Everyone says I have a bit of an accent, and I guess it's true. I never noticed it, but Matt and Chris, Matt Oklahoma and Chris York there, who do the 40 and slip, they made a couple comments about it. So I'm like, I actually got married in Vegas a couple years ago, and we got married under the Las Vegas sign, and one of the things that happened quite often were people were surprised that I was Canadian because they didn't think I had a Canadian accent. But if you go out west or out east in Canada, it tends to get a lot thicker.
Yeah, I moved down south for a couple of years, and there was a couple of people that thought I was from Canada.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely
close Minnesota.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I find that a lot of it is the way we talk, the pacing. You know, a little more laid back, not quite so phonetic and energetic. At least that's the way I try to put it across. Plus, it's cold up here in Canada, and I hate the cold. I'm the worst Canadian ever. I don't skate. I don't ski. I don't do anything but draw in the wintertime.
Worst Canadian.
They haven't kicked you out of the country yet?
What's that?
They haven't kicked you out of the country yet?
No, they haven't. No. I think that's where the weightlifting has come in handy. And I got a pretty good crazy lazy eye stare. So if anybody bothers me, I kind of, you know, give them the look and flex the pecs. No, but actually... Right.
Ramble is saying they're working on having you deported. I don't know.
Maybe they are. I know. Maybe there's a couple family members that might like it. Well, I've been to the States a few times, and I like it. I definitely liked Las Vegas. It was a lot of fun.
Nice. Yeah. But, I mean, you're relatively close to the States from where I'm envisioning on a map. So.
Yep. We're just. Up north, like when we went to Vegas, we went into Buffalo, and we're up by the northern New Yorks, all the smaller cities in there. Alexandria Bay is close. Watertown, Buffalo, not too far. And then we're about 3 hours from Toronto, which is, I guess, the biggest city in this part of Canada.
Okay.
Mighty nice city, too.
The southern tip of Canada.
Yes. Well, if you take a look at it, technically, I mean, my sister who lives up in Calgary, she's by far further north than I am because Canada sort of has a slant to it, the way the border is cut down.
Yeah, I think I might even be farther north than you.
Yeah, I know some people in Maine technically might be further north than me. I'm not sure. I know we get still hit by an awful lot of snow. Not looking forward to that.
Well, it's good squashing weather, though, coming up because the leaves will be off the trees. And
yeah, and seeing that's something that is definitely in my future. I have some friends that they're not so much into Sasquatch and cryptids, but they're definitely into the hiking and the camping and that aspect. And so my biggest fear is I watch some of Michael Merchant's videos with the mushrooms, and I'm worried I'm going to go out there and eat something I shouldn't and end up perishing under a tree.
And the bugs will be a minimum now that it's fall.
Yeah. Well, I like I said, I do want to do it, and I make fun of my fear of the woods, but, you know, it's just, I guess it's a common sense nervousness. I just realize how far I'm out of my element. City boy,
yeah,
born and bred.
You just got to go with somebody that knows what they're doing. And
yeah, definitely.
Bring some mace, learn what kind of animals are out there.
And that's the thing, like, outside of bears far up north, I mean, I don't think we really have anything too big to worry about. I mean, heck, I got scared by a giant black sheepdog once, so, I mean, I was on a pathway, and it popped out of the woods about 100 yards away, and I took off running, and it wasn't until I got about another 100 yards away I realized it was actually just a little black sheepdog. But I was screaming the bear was coming to get us. Black bears are known to kill, and technically, I guess they're not. It's more the brown bears and the grizzlies.
Yeah.
So never been too comfortable.
Still got to be careful. And
yeah.
You got mountain lions and whatever else.
Yeah, well, yeah, mountain lions. Big cats.
I like being in the woods. I like being in the woods alone, but where I'm going, there's no large predators around here. If I'm going somewhere really deep, then I want to be with another person and perhaps a weapon. If you know, at least the bear spray and knife.
Oh, definitely.
Things.
See, and I think what works against me, which is great for my art and writing, is my imagination. Once it gets dark, I can convince myself of anything. It's the Blair Witch coming around the corner.
Well,
maybe that'd be good. Maybe
all
my shrieking would get
world.
Bigfoot to come closer.
So, exactly.
Fred, I see a couple. You got a couple projects in the works. What's this? The Tall Tale of Tommy Turcotte.
Yeah. Well, that's it was my online graphic novel that I released a few months back. It's available on Smashwords.com. When David Pilates came out with his Missing 411 a while back, that really blew my mind. And you know all the analytical, all the evidence that he put up throughout the years, I thought, you know what, that would make a good kind of idea to go with. And I thought, why not write a story of a little boy that was abducted at the age of 4 and then 10 years later was refound, and what his tall tale would entail after the fact. So it's all about a little boy that was abducted by a Bigfoot creature and then is returned 10 years later, and you sort of get to hear exactly what he'd gone through, and you know, spiced with a little bit of my theories on certain Bigfoot things. Plus, it's all done in comic book style, so it's a graphic novel, 118 pages, and it's all illustrated, and I really get into some details and some stuff about what I think potentially Bigfoot might be.
Is this in the works then?
Oh, no, it's finished. It's available on Smashwords.com. You can purchase a copy of it. I'm not sure what I'm running it for. I think it's $1.99, something like that. But, yeah, it's a good I wrote the story, edited it all, illustrated it, and then uploaded it online. You can't get an actual hard copy, but you can get the digital version.
Oh, cool.
And it's all done. It breaks down into 4 different issues all put together. So in the future, if I ever wanted to release it in another format.
Hmm.
So it's on, what's the website?
Smashwords.com.
Smashworks? Cool.
Words. S-M-A-S-H words. W-O-R-D-S.
Gotcha.
.com. And I also have a couple other books that are there. I think I have one of my kids' books online that's free. So I've been writing books for, about a decade and getting turned down and shot down left, right, and center, and finally was able to get a way to get things published and get them out there to see if, you know, there was some interest.
Sweet. Yeah, I'm looking at your website right now, the Dread Fun 2M.
Yeah, I think we still have that one in the works. I think I got to update that, yep.
And I like your quote on the homepage. He who works with his hands is a laborer. He who works with his hands and his head is a craftsman.
Yeah.
He who works with his hands and his head and his heart is an artist.
Yep.
By St. Francis of Assisi or Assisi?
Yep. Yeah, the wife found that, and yeah, I definitely love that. Being the son of a mechanic, and who's the son of a mechanic, you know, I was never a mechanically inclined child. I've always been the arts sort of thing, but I have that, I guess, that mechanic type approach to my artwork, you know. I love it when people present something that I don't think I can draw and then have to go about doing it. So, and every time I get a little depressed, a nice quote like that reminds me why I hang out at the drawing board so often.
Well, I'm putting the link up to the, because it's actually under your given name, not.
Oh yes, Fred Dunn. Yes, yep. So, oh, that was a bit of an issue. Yeah, I forgot the original two, and then my other book, Truth About Grandpa, is released under Fred Dunn. Originally, the plan was never to, Dread Fun was just going to be a side thing, and Fred Dunn was going to be the name, but the YouTube channel's picked up so much in the last year or so, and it's just something that I just can't seem to give up that name, Dread Fun. It's almost like I've become a character.
So if the listeners want to find it, I put the link up on the Monster X Facebook page, so. Click away.
Excellent.
I'm going to get it. I want to take a look at it. So.
Yeah, no, perfect. Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
Sure.
But yeah, no, the Tall Tale of Tommy Turcotte was just a lot of fun to do. And if people want to check it out, I believe it's $2.99. Yep, sorry.
Still a
bargain. But yeah, 118 pages.
So.
Oh, well, that's a great deal. And that you get it on download or Kindle or...
Yeah, you can get it downloadable on, I believe, Kindle, and I believe you can get it, I'm not sure, the online version. Usually the wife handles most of that.
Nice.
God's given me the blessing of drawing, not so much, I was kind of worried I'd mess this up somehow technically, not be able to dial the right number or not get in touch with you guys. This has been a smooth operation.
Nice.
Well, we're glad you made it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny almost didn't make it, but.
Uh-oh. Yeah, but the thing is, like all my books that are available, they all work on the e-reader. So, if you got an e-reader, you can get a copy of it.
Well, okay.
And it's stuff I do. Like I have other books that I'm planning to release in the future. Just trying to get the time to. Get them all together, and the biggest part is editing it. You get a great idea, then you have to fill it out, make your characters, and then once you get the story, you got to edit it all, make sure you spell everything right.
Yeah, I didn't even know you did books until I looked at your site the other day.
Yeah, again, that was originally the YouTube channel. I saw another person doing a time-lapse type art on YouTube, and I thought, wow, that'd be a nice way to draw up attention to my books, and maybe it's something I could mess around with. And that was the whole point behind doing the time-lapse, the first couple ones I did, and then I just fell in love with it, liked doing it, liked filming it. And a lot of artists, and I understand this, they don't want to take a person through the entire process. You know, there's a lot of personal to it. They draw in a certain way. And for me to just put a blank page under the camera and take you through the whole process, not a lot of artists are doing that out there.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique concept, and it fits right into the Bigfoot community. You know, no one else is doing it, and everyone seems
yeah.
to love it.
And you've
done
Bigfoot
other
community.
Cryptids.
It's been a very supportive. Most groups that I've interacted with have been excellent. You know, I I'm not trying to be a researcher. I'm more of an enthusiast that wants to, you know, present what he thinks. And that's what I think is very important. That's where all the fun is right now for all of us. It's you know, a chance to do the stuff that you're interested in. You yourself, you know, you like to go camping or hiking and do your research. For me, you know, sitting down and looking at 100 different renderings of ancient hominids and, you know, picking and choosing what I would think would go best for a Bigfoot drawing, that's what I enjoy.
Sweet. Yeah. I like to mix it up myself. It's hard to get out there and do a lot of research because obviously we're not a you know, we're not getting any grants to do it.
No, and yeah, again, that's hard. I
do a lot of armchair myself.
Yeah, because that stuff does cost money. If you're going out there with a camera, or even just going out there with a couple buddies, you know, you need to have the food, you need to have your gear to be able to take care of yourself.
Yeah, and depending where you're at in the country. You know, most of us live in cities, so you got to drive a ways.
Yep. Well, and that's it. Even here, like, we have rural areas that aren't too far away, but it's still a good hour or so. Heck, you know, about two or more if you really want to get out to a secluded spot.
Yeah, same with me. It's at least two to be realistic. I mean, I could go to other areas and think I hear stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it'll be scary.
That would be the nervous part for me, sitting around a campfire in the middle of the night, getting scared by a squirrel. Haven't explained to everybody, but you're so large. Why are you so worried? Hey, I know my element. Come to the city. I'll be okay there.
Well, that's all right. No, you're. So what's your other book you got? I see there's Nora Pearl, too. What's that?
Yeah, that is one that is a lifelong goal of trying to get that one published. It's a very long a novel that I've written and edited and also illustrated, but haven't released yet. Still in the works, trying to get the final bits of editing done on the last few chapters. It's, you know, it's about a little girl that, you know, doesn't grow up in a very great environment. Her childhood isn't exactly an optimistic place. She's picked on at school. She's bullied at home. But she's got a very good imagination, kind of like myself as a kid, I guess. And she sort of gets transported to an imaginary world. And in this world, it's populated by elves and dwarves and all those magical realm creatures, except for the fact that none of them have magic. There's nothing magical about this realm. So you have elves that are lawyers, you have dwarves that are, you know, bankers and barbers, and it's a lot like our own world, except populated by the magical creatures, and they've never seen a human before, and this human child arrives, and her appearance brings back magic to the realm, and it basically goes from there. So it's a labor of love.
Nice.
So how long have you been working on that
cheap
one?
That one's been about a decade now. I started it when my daughter was about 9, and she just turned 19 a few days ago. So, and the visual imagery is based on my daughter when she was that age. So Nora Pearl is kind of a physical image of what my daughter looked like at 9, my youngest daughter.
Very cool.
But a lot of it is based, again, it was very therapeutic. Having a difficult childhood, I was able to, you know, write a lot of that in the Nora Pearl character and get a lot of those things out into the light and, you know, deal with them personally. And plus, you know, I love dwarves and elves, and Tolkien has been a huge influence on me of my entire life. So I always wanted to sort of...
You must have been pretty excited when the Lord of the Rings series came out.
Oh, yeah. When the first series came out, I got all the 10 hours of appendices. I watched them all at home and ate it up. And then when the new Hobbit came out, that was when I was doing the channel, and I drew all the dwarves in time-lapse. So I've got them all from Philly, Killy. Oh, gosh, I can't remember them all at the time. I even drew The Hobbit, and I also did Tolkien himself in a pencil sketch. So if you're interested in those, you can see them on my channel as well.
So you don't just draw Bigfoot. You've got a wide array of...
No, yeah. I do a lot of comic book inspired, but and I also do realistic pencil. So I'll draw anything from... like some things I've got coming out in the next few weeks, like a pencil sketch of Bruce Lee, a martial artist.
Oh, cool.
I drew a picture of Lloyd Pye. I mentioned him earlier. His Everything You Know Is Wrong is a fan favorite of mine. And, you know, even Weird Al Yankovic, I've drawn a picture of him I plan to release. Plus, you know, other stuff that I work on and my own inspired work, as well as the stuff I get from the cryptic community.
Wow, you got a full plate then.
Yeah, you know, I draw most nights. My job as a teacher at an after-school program allows me a lot of free time during the night and evening. So, you know, I've been blessed with an ability to really concentrate and bang out, you know, at least 3 videos a week, sometimes more. And that's a lot of things that people don't realize. They see a 2-minute video and they're like, wow, and they don't realize it took, you know, sometimes 10, 12 hours to draw. But we've sped it up to the point where you can enjoy it in a couple minutes and move on.
And a long time to make the video.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of editing, a lot of, you know, and then I have to go back and film my part that I put up in the side, the little postage stamp image of myself talking about the drawing. Which, again, was something I never intended to do, but it was a bit of advice I received from a fellow YouTuber. They said, yeah, put your image up there. Get them personalized with your face. That'll help. And so I've enjoyed doing that. Like, I mean, I drew a picture for the Olympic Project a while back, too. I mean, at the Randalls there when they had those images of that Bigfoot that was on thermal.
Oh, cool, yeah. That was you that did that.
Yeah,
yeah,
so
awesome.
If I see anything that inspires me, I go with it.
Yeah, that was awesome. You did a good job.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Like the video that was done by A Pair of Breakdowns really helped out and definitely made it easy for me to imagine, you know, what could be or what it was that I was looking at and how I could make that look like something in a comic book style.
Yeah.
Nice.
A Pair does good. It's funny because Phil Poling, that is his Pair of Breakdowns.
Yep.
I was at the Sasquatch Symposium last year up in Washington.
Yeah.
He and his wife walked in and like, I had watched his stuff, but I hadn't seen who it was.
Yeah.
And I own a grocery store in Garibaldi, Oregon, and he used to be a cop in Garibaldi. So
really?
Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, I knew he was in law enforcement, yeah.
Yeah, so it was funny because I had not made the connection.
Really? So,
yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty neat. Yeah,
yeah.
I didn't realize I'd been making that many waves in the community because really I try not to focus on numbers and how many views. I just, because if I get caught up in that, it tends to be competitive for me. So for me, the fun is like doing the images that I want and then moving on and just getting as many of them as I can done. I don't know how much time I have left. I want to draw as many pictures as I can. Kind of like I don't know when my Mona Lisa is going to come. I want to be ready when the time hits. Draw that picture that I'm known for.
I'm always very envious of people with your talent because, you know, I have trouble with stick figures.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like, it's always been there. From the time I was very, very little, my mom always had paper and pen when I was very young and was always supportive in those early stages. And I really just drew all the time. If you wanted to find me as a kid, I was at the coffee table watching cartoons and drawing. You know, I took a break in my teenage years when I got into football and stuff, but then, you know, followed it up afterwards. And it's been something that, you know, I've been trying to get as good as the stuff I see in my head, and I'm not quite there yet, but every drawing gets me a little closer.
Wow. What position did you play?
I was a defensive tackle.
Oh, okay.
I used to weigh just under 300 pounds, about 270, 280. Now I'm only about 210. So a few years ago,
wow,
the doctor said your back problems would go away if you dropped a few pounds. I dropped the weight. It didn't go away. Said see a chiropractor, and it helped a little bit. And then just getting physically active again. I think the big issue is I spent a lot of time bent over drawing, so sitting there, not good for your lower spine.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
I would not have been hit by you. I was a skinny little receiver, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, at the time, I mean, I gained something like 100 pounds between the age of 15 and 16, so I have Yeah, I left home at an early age, around 15, and that's when I just ate everything I wanted and got pretty fat, and that's when I decided, well, I'm going to start lifting weights and wear sweaters, and hopefully everyone will think I turned it into muscle. And eventually, you know, it started to work.
Nice. Well, we're reaching the top of the hour here, so we'll take a short break, and then we're going to give away some Sasquatch coffee. So stick around and yep, and sign in under a name. So we can throw you in the drawing, and we'll
perfect.
Be back with more with Dread Spawn.
All right.
All right, we're back.
All right.
Who wants to win some Sasquatch coffee?
Sounds
good.
Do I do?
Stuff is good.
What's the percentage of Sasquatch in each one of the coffees?
No Sasquatch for harm.
I'm just joking.
The most common question is it like the divot cat?
Oh, yeah, you guys running around collecting Sasquatch poop.
Yeah.
Those beans.
We tried to set that up, and if we ever can, we're selling it for a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely.
All right, well, let's get to it. And the winner is... Chris Fosnight, you are the lucky winner. A pound of Sasquatch coffee.
Chris is a buddy of mine. Hey, Chris, congratulations.
Congratulations, Chris.
An Oregonian?
Yeah, right. I bring the Oregonians to represent. We got more Oregonians than the disproportionate amount of Oregonians in the chat room, just so you know.
Wow, is that the technical term, an Oregonian, or am I getting that
Oregonian.
Right?
Yeah, Oregonian. You're saying it with a little bit of an accent, but yeah.
Yeah, it gets in there.
I don't know what you mean there.
Please, yeah. I'm trying to hold back on my A's and boots.
But I've taught it a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, mine's up there too. It's not quite as extreme as yours, but my abouts are a little different, I think, too.
Yeah.
So I've heard my O's and A's. But I'm from the city. I never knew I had an accent until I moved down south, and then people picked me apart, and then I would call home. And I would be like, "Nice accent, Mom."
Yeah, and then you can pick it out.
Yep, now I'll go. I can hear all the little subtleties of everyone around here, and it's funny because people that don't leave their area don't think they have an accent.
No, they don't. We had a guy who was our rugby coach, and he went and played in Scotland for 7 months. And when he came back, he'd swear he'd lived in Scotland his entire life, and he had this Scottish accent that slowly turned into a Scottish hybrid Canadian accent and then finally disappeared. But we had lots of fun ribbing him at the time.
Nice.
What else are you working on right now?
What's me?
What's your next big project?
Well, like I said, Nora Pearl is one that's always in the mix. Other than that, I've got a lot of time-lapse YouTube videos that are going to be coming out. I mentioned Bruce Lee and Lloyd Pye. Got something in the works for Bigfoot Revolution. I did an image for them for one of their secret agents. I was interested in the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I've got an image coming out of Caesar eventually.
Cool.
Other than that, yeah, whatever tickles my fancy, I'll set it up and draw. A lot of the stuff I worked on recently is in the realm of mixed martial arts, UFC-type guys. I do realistic drawings of them.
Oh, cool. I got friends of mine that are totally into mixed martial arts. If somebody wants to buy your stuff, where can they find it?
Well, they can contact me through my website, dreadfun.com. Any and all my images are for sale if I still own them. I've sold about a half a dozen or more maybe. And plus, you know, if they want to contact me, if there's something they're interested in, I have done that before where I've drawn an image. Like I did a birthday present for I did Galactus versus the Silver Surfer and did a big drawing of that and sold that, plus the time lapse is on the channel. Anytime the guy who owns the image wants to see it again, how it was created, you can always check it out. So yeah, they contact me through my website, and I take all kinds of requests. you know, if they want to pay me, I definitely I'll put that up on the top of the list. But yeah, and if they're interested in purchasing any of the ones that I've already done, yeah, and I also have you know, prints available. So if you're not interested in purchasing the original artwork, you can always get prints as well.
So
a lot of this stuff is new to me. I mean, I also put my I've got T-shirts up now at screen.com. That's screened with a K, S-K-R-E-E-N. So
I'm the lead investigator on the Tillamook Forest Research Group, and
yeah. That's
a really cool group photo. What would it cost me to have something like that? Cartoonize it.
Well, that depends. How many people are in the image?
1, 2, 3, 4. There are 8 people in the image.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it depends on the size. Like, usually I work in around the 8x11 range, a little bit larger, just because all of my stuff is geared towards my scanner and whatever other technical stuff I have with my camera. But, yeah, I mean, you know, a few $100, something like that. Again, I'm not quite sure. It depends really, you know, on how much work I would have to put into it. But, again, the comic book style is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'll get a hold of you then, because I'm looking.
Sure, yeah.
I hope none of them are listening. I'm sure they're not. I'm sure they are, but I think it'd be a cool Christmas present for our team members. So.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, no, that's something that I enjoy doing myself, and a lot of people like seeing themselves. I've done it of my relatives, some of my family members, where I draw them and do it in a comic book style. I've even done, I got a friend that I know, Bob Dominguez. I drew him as the Chupacabra Hunter, and I did it in a comic book style.
Mm-hmm.
Where I take an actual image and, you know, you're trying to, again, create that in a comic book. So where you have certain shaded lines, you got to make the decision, am I going to put the black lines in or am I going to shade it with the paint? Plus,
yeah,
one thing I found is the Bigfoot community has got a lot of interest in looking folks in it, so it makes it easy for me. Like I said, I love drawing facial hair, and it seems there's a lot of beards going around the Bigfoot community.
Yeah.
Johnny's
you
got a little
kidding.
Bit of a beard, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, it's beard season.
It's cold up there.
No, that's it, yeah. I'm thinking I might have to grow one this year.
Burly. Yeah, Bob Dominguez, he's a really cool guy. I tried to get him to join us on air tonight, but he had to take care of some stuff.
No, that's too bad. Yeah, no, I love talking to Bob online. He's got some interesting views. He's got some interesting stories, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the people that I've met through the Bigfoot community online have been tremendous. So, wide, you know, some of them don't get along, but, you know, I enjoy pretty much everybody that I've come in contact with.
Yeah, as long as you stay out of the drama, you'll be okay.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's it. There is drama, but to each their own. I mean, some people enjoy a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Something to do. You know, there's not always Bigfoot to talk about. We got to fill the gaps.
True. Yeah, got to fill in the gaps. Work on our social skills.
Of us need more practice than others.
Yeah, definitely.
And thanks to Bob for hooking you up with me. Well, then he kind of threw me to Matt, who is a part of the Bigfoot Revolution.
Yeah.
And then Matt hooked me up with you. So, yeah, it's a very cool group of guys. And Bigfoot Revolution hasn't done a webcast in a while, so they're due, huh?
Yeah, I've been waiting. Well, the first time it came out, I was all over that. Like I said, I'm a big fan of Phil, Pair Breakdown. And also Matt's written work. I've read quite a few of his articles that he's put out. And, you know, just working with those folks that, you know, you respect the point of view that they take and at least the way that they work. And, I love it because a lot of times I'm getting asked to draw stuff that I personally wouldn't have drawn. Like even for you, for instance, with the Dogman, even though it's been in my head for months, I've always wanted to draw one. Just getting around to putting it together. And once I get it, or somebody wants an image done, that's when I start sinking my teeth into it.
Nice. Yeah, so you've done all sorts of cryptids. And as far as Bigfoot goes, well, obviously you drew the brown thermal footage, so you draw images of what people have seen.
Yeah.
And sometimes have you drawn something where someone has been like, hey, that looked like one I saw?
Yeah, a lot of times I'll get that. I also upload videos. I do Bigfoot Illustrated on Bigfoot Evidence, their YouTube channel. And a lot of times it'll open up a dialogue. I'll draw an image of what I think a Bigfoot will look like, and then people will chime in with their opinions. Oh, I think this should be, the brow ridge should be more thick, or there's not enough hair. And plus, you know, in the past, through Michael Merchant, I've actually, you know, I've taken a personal account over Skype and illustrated it, and I've done that a few times as well through other channels. So I'll get, like, the written information on what the person has seen. Only the one time have I actually talked to the individual. And that was pretty interesting. I got some pretty good in-depth knowledge on what they thought they saw.
Yeah, that's right. You did like a winter
Bigfoot
drawing for a Michael Merchant.
Yeah, I did that a while back, and basically the gentleman had contacted Michael, and at the time I'd already done a couple of these sort of sighting videos for Michael, and then he said the gentleman wanted to talk to me via Skype. I said, sure. So I was able to ask him straight off, you know, what is it that you saw? What do you think you saw? How did the whole scene play out? So it really helped fill it in. And plus, you know, when I did do the original drawing, you can see that there's a lot of snow in the foreground that obscures the image. You know, when he originally saw it, said it was much more blurry. But if I were to draw that exactly as it's described, all you would see is a whole bunch of snow and a little bit of red here and a little bit of the car there. So I have to take into account what it is that I want the people to see when they look at the sighting.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that one. That one was really cool. That was amazing.
Yeah, it was really
sighting,
good. He said he got a great view of the creature as it sort of passed across the road and then turned and ran back up the bank, and got a really good description of a very large, lanky, muscular-type creature. He originally thought it might have been a moose, I guess, and was telling the partner in the car, hey, look at that moose up there, and that's when it came out of the tree line, and they both were realized instantly, that's not a moose.
And that's the thing, a lot of sightings are from just people driving around doing their everyday thing. You know, some people will say, well, hey, there's more sightings of just randomness in areas that are somewhat, I won't say urban, but, you know, somewhat close to cities and roads versus sightings in, like, the deep woods or whatever.
Well, yeah, and I think something that happens, too, and that happens locally here, over the last 30 years, I've watched as our city has expanded out into what I would have called as a kid rural areas, and they've now become, you know, fairly trafficked with people. They're small communities, even the smaller villages, as you're going out on the highways, they've gotten larger. So, I mean, we're encroaching on area that maybe they're using, they're passing through, so definitely going to get more of those random looks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
people will say, you know, they'll say, well, you have a better chance of just driving around and seeing them than when you actually do researching. But I'm, you know, I was thinking about that, and I'm like, well, there's really not that many researchers that are going that deep in the woods that often, and there's millions of people driving around.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you had that many people going deep into the woods, you could very well have more sightings.
Definitely. And that's it. I personally think a lot of times, and this has happened to me, like I made that joke about seeing the black dog and thinking it was much larger. I think if we are seeing the creatures, you know, just seeing something that's on 2 feet that isn't supposed to be can sort of skew how large you think they are. And, you know, whereas, you know, a 9-10 foot type creature, that might be harder to hide than something in and around the 6.5 foot range. And I think the Patterson-Gimlin film, they said she was 6'7", is what they estimated roughly.
Yeah, they've
pretty
changed
big.
That, haven't they, over
yeah,
the years?
It goes back and forth.
She's getting smaller.
Yep.
Well, she's getting older, so you shrink as you get older. So.
Yes, the spine compresses.
At the same time, you know, that's within human range.
That is so well within human range, yep.
Especially in a suit. So that's the thing. Yeah, we say Bigfoot's 8 to 10 feet, but when we finally get one on film, it's only 6.5 feet.
Yeah, and, you know, I think a lot of times, you know, people are in the heat of the moment when they're seeing something that they don't initially recognize, you know, they might be prone to think it's something larger. But again, I don't know. I'm just talking from my own experiences when I've seen things. Like years ago when I worked for the Boys and Girls Club, they put me in a hotel room in Toronto, and just over that weekend they had Tall People of Canada. So for the whole weekend I was around 7-footers that were like 7 foot, 7.5 feet tall. Even one woman I think was 6'11". And that 6'11 is only about 10 inches taller than me, but it's a lot. Like you're looking up and you're like, wow, that's big.
And
but again,
big
like
feet
but,
too.
Yeah, and you got those big feet, and I mean, there's a lot of people that really, really want it to be out there, and not only do they really, really want it to be out there, they want it to be what they think is out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody really has a good idea. Like, all of them are great theories, but
yeah,
I don't know. It's definitely smart, whatever it is. It knows enough to stay away from us.
That's basically all we really got, though, is just theories. I know a lot of people are out there stating things as fact.
And that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
That's what,
this mystery could go on forever.
Well, when the moment happens and the world, if Bigfoot is discovered, like a lot of the people on the fringe aren't going to be involved in that process of documenting and you know, putting it in the right category. That's when you're going to get a lot of the scientists from outside of the people that have been doing the work. You know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, it seems that people don't want to take it seriously. And there's enough evidence out there that I think there's at least a reason for people to be out there doing it.
Yeah, I think the sighting reports alone warrants a scientific investigation on a larger scale.
Well, and living up north in Canada, I mean, we have, I'm very interested in Native folklore and a lot of the stuff that they have said in the past about a tribe of giants that used to live in Canada and North America many, many years ago. And, you know, a lot of them have mythology about a Bigfoot creature and other creatures similar and giants and stuff. Well, what do they say? Mm-hmm. Where there's smoke, there's fire. I guess where there's smoke, there's fire, and where there's fire, there's smoke. So, I don't know.
I mean, I was thinking one day, I'm like, you know, if this is really real, like, we're doing something amazing right now, us little people. You know, right now we're all on the same level. We're all on equal playing field. You know, no one can go lead you to a Bigfoot. No one has a body. I'm like, if this is real, this is a pretty amazing thing to be a part of right now.
Well, I mean, it would throw a whole lot of things into a new light, human evolution being one of the forefront. I mean, our place in the world, and plus, I mean, it would definitely help us understand our own place in the world as well if we had the creature, because definitely whatever it is, it's more robust. It doesn't need the same kind of things that we need to survive, at least in the woods, that's for sure. And that's a scary thing about it for me. Like, if you think about it, you drop me off in the middle of the woods in my skivvies, I'm dead. There's nothing I can – if I'm naked and have nothing, I'm dead.
Even with those muscles?
Definitely. Probably. Well, maybe if I found a female Bigfoot that liked me, I might be able to get some shelter or something. But shake my moneymaker out there. That was not a pun to the show either. But, no, I just – I think all things are possible. I mean, you know, the habituators sometimes get me a little rankled, the people that say they have Bigfoot in their backyard and they're making contact. And then when you make a message or try to say, well, I would like to come witness this, oh, no, you can't. They're very sensitive to, I've been doing this for 10 years, and okay. That's not really the way true research goes, personally, but
that's the thing. You can say anything online and you don't have to be accountable. You can just make up stories and, you know, a certain amount of people are going to believe you, and all of a sudden you have this validation and acceptance and you're a part of something. And it's just, yeah, it's, I have to swerve in some groups because, yeah, it's like some of these people, you know, see Bigfoot in their Cheerios, and it's just too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm more along the line of, you know, tongue-in-cheek. I mean, I'm coming from the comic book world where, you know, anything's possible. I mean, the Sasquatch we deal with is Alpha Flight. I mean, the Canadian super team. And so, you know, I think anything's possible. Although I think whatever we think we know, probably there's a little more to it.
Yeah. It is an interesting phenomenon how everyone has their own belief, and it's a very passionate subject, and you can get some really heated debates.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, for an individual to spend, you know, a decade going out into the woods time and time again and collecting research and information and what they think is proof, I mean, that's going to instill a lot of personal pride in that individual. So when you attack, or not attack, but question what it is that they've done with their time and their life, they can perceive that as an attack. And you get a lot of that blustering and, you know, well, you don't know. Well, you don't know. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, and a lot of people are like,
you do have to do a little bit of dancing around the subject sometimes.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people are like, well, you just don't go out in the woods enough for this or that. And it's like, you don't know me or.
Yeah.
That's what I get upset, too, because I've been in the woods a lot, all over the country and in Canada growing up, you know, and I never saw a Bigfoot. So
yep.
I know they're not behind every tree.
Definitely.
You know, and a lot of the times I was a kid and I was alone. It's like. And my grandma lived in a national forest, and I'd go spend the summers there and wander around, and, you know, nothing showed itself to me.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know. A lot of people have spent an enormous amount of time, and is that to say that there isn't one just because somebody hasn't seen it? And then I've seen videos on YouTube of individuals that have spent their whole life in the woods. And they tell of stories of meeting a creature or seeing a creature, and for all intents and purposes, you look and you, that person just seems to be believable. Why would they? You know, is it possible they misidentified? I don't know. And then you got to take a lot of things on faith.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you always have
going is the sightings.
Yeah.
Because all the hoaxes and garbage that gets posted online just really drags the subject down, and it just makes you become more skeptical and cynical. You know, before I entered the community, I was a lot more of a believer, and I just enjoyed the mystery, you know.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, there's certainly been a little more weight thrown on it over the last couple of years for me, too. Just, and you find yourself... I find myself repeating other people's views as if it is truth or a reality, maybe because I respect them. But, you know, like you said, we're all in the same boat, whether you're a Grover Krantz or Roger Gimlin or Roger Patterson, Bob Gimlin, I mean, they were just two cowboys out in the woods. Whether they had an ulterior motive, nobody will ever know. Was that a real thing that they saw? They got it on film, whatever it is. And that's more than what a lot of people have brought forth so far.
Yeah. And that's another point with YouTube and things. People can do a lot of things. And
yeah, you have to be skeptical, yeah. Well, I'm
a lot of
like
stuff to wade through.
Holsters.
Yeah, we're due for a good video.
Yeah. And that's it happens every few years where one will come out and make you think, make you look. Like, you know, another one, oh, I forget his name, but, it was a while back. He caught an image of a large, it looked like it was a large, overweight Sasquatch walking in front of a pine tree.
Is that Paul Freeman's video?
Yes, the Freeman video, yes. That's the exact same one, yeah. And, something like that, something where you can't right off bat go, no. We'll get another one of those eventually.
Yeah. I mean, people are seeing something, no matter how skeptical or cynical you are.
Yep.
You know, reputable people are seeing something, and they're putting their reputation sometimes and their, you know, credibility on the line to talk about this. And
well, I even get it. Every now and again, I get a Facebook post or two from friends from my past that are like, you really believe in Bigfoot? What's going on? I'm like, there's enough evidence that I think something's going on, and I want to put my piece out there as well. And, you know, you get the roll of the eyes and, oh, you believe in the Loch Ness Monster too now, eh? Well, actually, if you want to get maybe... I just find, you know, the dreamers and the people that are willing to let themselves imagine it, that's the magic. And like you said, when you first get in, when I first looked at videos on YouTube, I'd call up friends and go, have you seen this video? Like, what do you think? And, you know, that was the fun. Now it's more like, oh, I think that's a fake, but maybe not. it'd be nice if everybody could play on a level... honest playing field, but they don't seem to want to. Some people have ulterior motives.
Yeah,
that they do.
That's exactly it. Well, hopefully Gunner, you know, and his team and Shane and people living out there in Bigfoot Central can bring us some good evidence in the future.
Yeah, I definitely, it seems like now's the time. Something could potentially happen. There's a lot of people out there that are more educated in what they're looking for, and that's the thing. It's one thing for a guy who's lived in the woods all his life. You know, he's out there and he sees a creature, but he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't really know how to deal with it. When you get an individual that has the ability to go out in the woods and know what they're looking for, and then they see something, that's when something magical will happen, I think. When you get the person that is a Bigfoot researcher, but also somebody that knows the woods thoroughly and knows what it is they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And, I hope they don't shoot them, but hey.
The question in the chat room, what are your thoughts on Paul Freeman?
Personally, I'm not sure. I mean, again, if you look at Patterson and Freeman alike, personally, they seem to have had issues in their lives where honesty comes into play. But I just take it on the fact that you're seeing something, and it's moving, and it's more than what most of us have seen, more than most YouTube videos have put forth.
Was that one in Canada?
I am not sure. I don't think so. I don't think that one was in Canada.
Northern Cali or something.
Yeah, something like that.
I've seen the footage. I'm just not familiar with him and his
background
that much.
Yeah, you know, not just thing. If you watch those videos too much, you can start seeing things that I don't think are necessarily there. And, you know, not to knock any other researchers, but, you know, if you're staring at a six-second video 20, 30 times an hour trying to find braids or other animals in the film, it can, I think it can skew things a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I think the GoPro is a huge asset to Bigfoot researchers.
Yeah.
Because like we were talking about last week on the show and I've talked about in other shows, it's hard to whip your camera out and even get a deer or something running.
Yeah, I was in my backyard a few weeks ago. We had some antique airplanes just fly over our house for an air show. I was in the backyard with my grandson, had my phone. I still couldn't get it up in time to get a picture of them. You know, and I had my phone in my hand, and I ended up, it was blurred, and they were too far away. So, yeah, I definitely hard. But having those GoPros, having them out ready, handy.
Yep, have it strapped and running.
Well, and that's the thing. It makes me think, like, just how smart these creatures could be, because they haven't been caught on a trail cam, so that alone doesn't mean that they're not out there. Maybe they can detect or sense or...
Yeah, and like, you know, I've talked before with other researchers like Shane Corson. There's just, you know, he said there's just not that many trail cams out there when you think about
it.
It's, you know, and if... So, yeah, they might be able to smell them. They might be able to see you put them up.
Yep.
Might be able to sense them, or there's just not enough of them out there.
Well, yeah, and definitely they probably just see them. Their vision, if they're a primate, which they're more than likely some form of primate, the type of vision that they would have that they probably could see as well as we can. And, you know, I know they hide them, but, like, if you're a natural creature existing in a natural forest, you're going to know when something is disturbed, potentially something has been touched, not even to take into the account scents and the smells that we put off.
Yeah.
Well, there actually are some purported, you know, trail cam, possible trail cam, the Jacob footage, I think Jacob's pictures, you know, the one, the mama foot at the apple tree that they showed on, he picked it on.
Okay, right. And
Bigfoot, yeah.
Yeah, the one with the mange, I think.
Yeah, the one with mange. Yeah, it looks like something, yeah. And then there's one on, you know, Cliff Barrickman researched one on his Bigfoot road trip DVD, too. There's a few, you know, it's not common to, and there's obviously no real clear ones, but I have a theory about what makes the, if I put a trail camera on the wall of your living room, you'd probably see it.
Yeah.
So, and, if I put a camera on the wall of your living room and there was some compelling reason, like you had a fire in your house and it was just there, you may get your picture taken.
Yes.
Yeah. You wouldn't be compelled to see it. I think they know their environments well enough that if we stick, they may see us do it. You know, they may smell it. I think if the incidents where something has been caught on a trail cam, the one was in an apple tree, so there's a compelling food reason. And I don't think they hang out at that particular apple tree. And the gentleman had just put that camera up.
Yeah.
The Jacob's footage, the whatever it is, was licking on a salt block. So I don't know in what proximity time frame to when the camera was put up to the pictures were taken. Same thing. The one on Cliff's DVD, and it's out in the Clackamas area. Chris is telling me the thing was running, ran by the trail cam. So it was running like on a trail too. So it probably was not some area that was really familiar with. So.
Yeah, and I mean, inexperienced juvenile, maybe, who knows? Like,
right, yeah. But I have a feeling that they when we just go up in an area where we've had a first of all, I like to say, and you can't, how much of the woods is covered by trail cam? It's such a small percentage. You know, it's a needle in a haystack. And then to get some kind of clear shot with a trail cam of something walking by is even a smaller percentage of that. So
yeah, you're really rolling the dice.
Right. It is a total crapshoot. So
yep.
But at the same time, there are more and more being put out. Wisconsin is starting that world's largest trail cam project, where the DNR is going to work with the state citizens on this project, and they expect to deploy 3,000 to 4,000 cameras across the state, and the people will be responsible for uploading the photos to a website where anyone will be able to see them. So that
might get some interesting stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely
to help monitor wildlife.
You got a lot of people who talk about the government covering it up, so who knows?
Yeah, as far as Wisconsin goes, they're willing to work with the people, you know, to monitor wildlife and assist with population estimates. And
well, not you know, at the very least, that's definitely going to help. I mean, the more we know about our forests and natural resources, as well as the animals that exist in there, the better. So even if you never discover a Bigfoot creature, it's helping.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
Like, I mean, you get a good idea of what kind of species are living in the area.
Yeah, because they've had a fair amount of sightings out in Wisconsin. So it would be interesting to see what these pictures can yield.
Yeah, because whatever it is, there's definitely not a lot of them. And if there are, they're not very accessible. They're not around in our areas.
Mm-hmm. And people just don't go that deep in the woods, really. People stay on trail.
My friends who go out hunting and hiking, they don't believe in Bigfoot, really, but they say, hey, there's enough room out there. Like, you know, people don't understand how big some of these woodland areas can be and how much is in there. And like you said, a lot of us don't go off the tracks or off the natural trails.
No, when I do go off trail around here, which isn't Bigfoot country, I will find deer bones and other interesting things. But if I'm on the trail, I don't find those.
No. Well, like I said, easy access. I know a lot of animals use trails. I'm sure, you know, the Bigfoot creature, that would be a risk. Again, it shows intelligence. It could know that this is potentially dangerous. I could be sighted. I could be seen.
Yeah, there's almost like a collective consciousness.
Yeah.
I see with a Bigfoot. You know, like, what happens to the real old ones or the ones, you know, that have some sort of problem, you know? Are they taken for a long walk as to not expose the tribe, you know? I mean, it's really an amazing phenomenon that not one has slipped up.
Yeah, that's true. And dealing with a creature that, if it's got an intelligence like ours, it's being used in a way that we don't use our own. They're not influenced or affected by the same things we are.
True.
I mean, if you don't have to worry about it raining or, you know, where your next meal is or making a fire and you're out in the woods, you know.
And I guess most animals will go to die in somewhat of a sheltered spot.
Yeah, that is common if they're injured or they're hurt or they're getting older.
And if they are living in groups, maybe they, you know, really look out for the elderly or the disabled.
Yep.
There's a question in the chat room by our friend Bob Dominguez.
Bob.
He says, what were Fred's comic influences?
For me, my comic book influences, probably the biggest overall would be, not too many people know this gentleman, Norm Breifogel. He was a Batman artist on Detective Comics in the 90s. When I was reading reading his work and looking at his illustration, he was a heavy influence. As a young kid, it was Batman TV show and the Hulk TV show. That's when I started getting into the comics and realizing that, wow, there's people that draw for a living, like comic books. So from there, those were two big influences, early TV shows and definitely the work of Norm Breifogel. And definitely others like Frank Miller. Anytime I see an artist that I really respect in the comic book world, and there's so many, I'm influenced by a lot of them.
Nice. And what's your favorite medium? Go ahead.
What's that? What's my favorite medium to work in? I would have to say just with ink. I like doing the watercolor that I do, but it's hard sometimes because the artists that are doing comic books nowadays, especially the colorists, they use a lot of computer programs, and I do it old school where I'm using brush and water and actually painting on a page. So it's tough. But for me, doing anything in black and white ink, that's the definitely the one I like to work with.
Oh, cool.
So have you ever thought about doing like a comic with a superhero Bigfoot character?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've definitely thought about it. What way to do it. Anything from like making Bigfoot into a ninja or, making him a super assassin. The absurdity of seeing a Bigfoot dressed up as a ninja or in a clown suit or, I get all those images and try to think, what could I do with that? But, definitely, I think, the giant beast running through the night sky, running through the night, protecting those that warily travel in the woods. At least they would have to be different than those 411 Bigfoots from the Dave Politis work. Apparently,
right.
Try to eat it.
There's got to be good ones if they're bad.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. I think maybe we're just running into the real jerks all the time. I don't know. The ones kicked out of their community.
Yeah, it's a very crazy deal, man. 49 states could have a 8-foot giant running around.
And that's it. I mean, even if it was 7 feet, 6 feet, that's still pretty impressive. Heck, 5 foot six, doesn't matter. I mean, if there was some sort of ape primate type human out there, it would definitely change a lot of things. I definitely wouldn't want to be one of those creatures if they were discovered. It'd definitely be a sticky time for them for the first few years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'll change so much. I mean, logging industry, they'd have to set aside some sort of sanctuaries or protected lands. And
yeah, I don't get that argument with people like, the kill, no kill. We need to kill one to prove they exist. First of all, they don't give a crap if we prove they exist. They seem to be doing fine without us being able to prove it. The thing is if we need, we need to protect our environment. Shouldn't we already be doing that? Because there's all
our environment too.
Yeah. Well, and there's already known animals that live in that environment. So why do we need to prove that Bigfoot exists? To that, I find that kind of a silly argument.
Yeah, definitely.
Protecting
silly,
them is
a
selfish interest. When you think about it. I mean, wanting to prove it is it. I was happy with the mystery, but when you go in this online Bigfoot community, I don't know, all the hoaxes and all the garbage, it kind of makes me want to prove it more.
Yeah.
And I want to know what it is. And unfortunately, some say you need a body to do that. Some say you can do it with DNA now and these high-tech dart guns that people like Stacey Brown and I don't know if Bill Brock, people are acquiring, but those are just two people, That's another needle in a haystack.
Well, you got to be there at the right time. You got to be able to react in the right way and be able to retrieve what it is that you've put out there. I mean, there's a lot of what ifs and maybes and like I said, with the trail cam, it is a lot like trying to find a needle in a haystack. You're putting something up and hoping that a clearly intelligent creature is going to make a mistake and stop or walk right in front of. They haven't done it yet, so.
Yeah. I just want to see one. My selfish desire is to just see one and know, like, be somewhere where there probably couldn't be a hoaxer, or find corroborating evidence such as big tracks, or chase that bugger down, and if he outruns me, then I know it's not a man in a suit.
Yeah.
Are you that fast, John?
Well, I used to be.
I want video of that one.
Yeah, that would be an interesting.
Yeah.
And even then, they would be questions of a hoax.
Yeah.
But you know what? I think something like that would definitely
be good enough for me, though.
Yeah, and that's what
right.
I know what you mean. I know people that have seen them, and the conviction that they have in their voice and their belief, that would definitely be nice, a nice feeling to know, hey, I'm not putting just faith in this. I've actually seen something. I may not know everything about what I saw, but I know it wasn't a bear. I know it wasn't a creature. I know it was something else.
Yeah, and it ran twice as fast as me and jumped over a fence and
something
a guy in a suit probably couldn't do.
No, and that's the truth. And again, I mean, we saw that guy in the ghillie suit who got ran over by a car a while back. I mean, a lot of people have enough common sense to realize that you're running around in a suit out in the woods, you're going to get shot. You know, there's a good chance, or you're going to have some issues. But again, I mean, that all depends if the people that are looking for the creature are out there at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's my interest is I want to have a personal experience, too.
I
mean, from a safe distance. You know, like nice comfortable across the ridge where obviously what it is.
Yeah, I'm hoping he's afraid of me.
Yeah, that's what I would hope for, too.
I'm not chasing something that's not moving or running towards me.
No, we'll keep a safe distance. And that's, again, you think about it. If the creature is as large as people are saying, man, that would not be the type of thing you want mad at you.
Yeah.
I'm not digging on the whole scenario of, like, one growling at me, you know, seeing one, like, 5 feet away and it's growling at me. That's
yeah. No, I'll take the cross the ridge one.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, you know, like the person in the chat room said, science will always want a body, you know, as far as proving it, I guess, to the world. But I'm happy with proving it to me. And, you know, I've come to the realization there's always going to be people online saying this, saying that. You can't let it bug you and get wrapped up. You got to just enjoy what brought you into this place in the first place, you know, which is the mystery. And I'm kind of just going back to that spot.
But that is what it should be about. I work with a lot of kids in my after-school program, and Bigfoot is a topic on occasion. And it's interesting, you know, talking to kids and asking them what they think. Do they think that a creature like that could exist out in the real world? And you get the same amount on the fence. You'll get kids that think it's possible, other kids that don't, some that get scared at the potential of thinking that there could be something out there.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I just think the more we talk about it and the more people that are credible, that are out there doing the stuff and trying to find legitimate proof, you know, the better it is. And like I said, that's when a lot of the magic's going to go out of this, when we actually do have the creature. But it would be very satisfying.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Well, it looks like we have a caller. We got a few minutes left here. 503, how you doing?
That's Oregon, Paul.
Doing well. It's the most interesting Yeti in the world. Hello, guys. It's Shane.
I just saw you on. Yeah.
Hey, I thought it was you with a recognized area code.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it yet, you gotta go to Sasquatch Coffee's Facebook page and see the video that Shane Corson put up, because you will laugh your ass off. I'm still looking for my ass because I lost it when I saw the video. So.
Yeah, that was cool. Slapped that together. But, no, great show, guys. Dredd, I love your work, man.
Thank you.
And, you know, I love everything you're putting out there. You know, and I'm just curious, you know, what truly drives you? I mean, like you said, I listened to you a few seconds ago, and you were mentioning, you know, finding, you know, Bigfoot is discovered, it'll take some of the joy out of it. Will you continue on with that sort of drawing and whatnot? I mean, you know, it's a passion of mine, and it seems like a passion of yours. I mean, you're going to continue on if this mystery is finally solved?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It might take a different approach. Like I said, I enjoy drawing primates and other animals as well. So, I mean, it would definitely be great. I could get some nice realistic pencil sketches if I had a real image of the creature when they discover it. But the magic of sitting down and trying to imagine, I think some of that might go out of it because, again, we would have that creature.
Absolutely. And I can see, I think I can see in the future here, maybe a partnership with Sasquatch Coffee or something along those lines with a really cool drawing.
Yeah, I would love to. Like I said, I'm always open. Any of the people know how to contact me at dreadfund.com. I have done numerous bits of work for folks and look forward to any other work I can get in the cryptid community.
Well, you'll see, Bert, that there's already an email from Watch Coffee in your inbox when you get off.
All right, sweet.
Great minds think alike. So.
Awesome. Looking forward to that. Like you said, you put out so much good stuff. I can only imagine what you can come up with, you know, working with Gunner and Sasquatch Coffee and bringing some new ideas to the table, you know, because it's good coffee and you're a great artist. So hand in hand, who knows?
Yeah, a partnership made in heaven or something like that. Yeah, I'd definitely be interested.
At least in the woods.
That's awesome.
Excellent stuff. Well, I just called in to say hi and wanted to praise you on your work and whatnot. And it's, you know, give you a bit of encouragement. Look forward to seeing what you put out there.
Well, stay tuned. I got lots of stuff, and I'll always be doing something in the cryptid realm.
Hey, Shane, excellent. I hear you're headed to the Olympic Project next weekend. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah,
all
that's
right.
Correct.
Well, look forward to hearing what comes out of that. So.
Yeah, I got Paul Graves, Todd Neese, Greg Moorhead being there, and, of course, you know, the rest of the gang of the Olympic Project. So really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great outing. We're going to try and recreate some thermal footage that me and Derek had taken a couple months ago. So it's all going to be wrapped in that package, and really looking forward to getting up there, and I will report back.
All right. Sounds good. Have a good time.
Great. Thanks, guys.
In the woods.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Good luck.
Nice hearing from you.
Yeah, Shane,
that's cool.
Part of the Filmic Forest Project, and he's also one of the members of the Olympic Project. And he actually used to be a co-host on Monsterette. Now he's doing Crypto Logic Radio?
Yep.
Is that right? Yeah. So.
Yep.
And that's a good show. I listened to
awesome.
That.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
coming down to our last
Olympic
few
projects
minutes.
Are really nice.
Yeah, they're doing good stuff. Good, honest, real research.
Yeah, and that's where it starts. That's a good approach.
Well, coming down to the last few minutes, I'd like to thank Dredd Fund for joining us.
Not a problem. It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
A lot of fun,
for
too.
For those of you who want to check out his stuff, you can go to dreddfund.com. That's with two N's in the fun. Or you can go to his YouTube channel at youtube.com/DreddFun, and you can see his amazing time-lapse creations.
Yep. Yeah, leave a comment if you'd like. If you've got a request, throw it in the comment section. I pick one or two to do every few months. So I'm always always looking for interesting things to draw to challenge me.
Sweet.
I'll be talking to you about some doing some stuff for Sasquatch Posse.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and thanks for having me, guys. Like I said, this was a lot of fun. This was my first ever radio interview, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was a little nervous, but I think I did okay.
Yeah, you did great.
It was great, man. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, I'm actually sitting in my studio where I create all my little images, so I picked a nice, comfortable room.
Sweet.
Congratulations. Chris Bosch and I on winning a pound of Sasquatch coffee. I will hand deliver it to you at Hopscotch next weekend.
Yeah, and thanks for everyone joining us in the chat room, and look forward to next week. We got Mike Johnson of Sir Bigfoot Research, which is out of Colorado. He'll be joining us, and he has had a Class A encounter. He is a well-known researcher of the Rocky Mountain area of Colorado, and we'll see you all next week for another episode of Monster X Radio.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Fred.
No problem.